Hello, I'm Laura P. Valtorta. This is my podcast, B is for Bisexual. Today, we are reading the first story entitled Robin and Zen. Here with me are Marco and Dante Valtorta. You can find the ebook, B is for Bisexual, with all the short stories on Kindle. And now, Robin and Zen. Robin leaned his butt against the cement planters at Austin Airport, squinting his eyes as Zen turned from the Southwest Airlines counter and made his way toward the glass doors. Hopefully, his friend had gotten a ticket home. 30 days of a 4-day visit was enough to explode Robin's nerves. Zen needed to go. He needed to get lost and return to San Francisco before Alice got back from London and ruined the few remaining days of Robin's time alone. He longed to be by himself, listening to the grackles, relearning his lines, watering the garden, and eating food truck tacos, not listening to Zen's dubstep music or watching him make and engorge a thick peanut butter banana sandwich. He jammed his hands into his pockets. Robin could stand no more talk about the successful body double movie, not ever, and no more description of Zen and Kiara's mansion or their stupid baby boy, or how often Spike Lee called Zen's personal phone and said, "Hey man," begging to work with Zen. He wanted Zen out. He wanted him dead. And Zen was the person Robin loved most. Zen was the love of his life. When Zen had mentioned he needed to stay in Austin to attend a movie premiere at South by Southwest, Robin's body quivered like a Mexican jumping bean. He hadn't seen Zen up close to hug him for 18 months, and once upon a time, they had been that tight. They made a hit comedy show together, for heaven's sakes, Robin and Zen. A fantastic show that flourished for 5 years. Robin's wife was safe in London producing a theatrical version of Moonstruck, and so the house was empty. 4 days was just enough time for two buddies to visit for a week, drink some brew, dance some cool steps, and reminisce about the good old days. Robin's house was a 3-bedroom, 2-bath ranch within a walking mile of South Congress, bought between his first and second wives. The first wife had taken him for just about everything, plus $15,000 a month, but she hadn't gotten this sweet Texas house. Robin loved it because it was simple and bourgeois. It needed a swimming pool and a larger backyard, but the rooms were spacious and cool. The floors were made of tile and smooth concrete. There wasn't any clutter here. It was like a modern painting. Zen could have the best guest bedroom across from the guest bath that Robin had just finished remodeling. The sink was a shell shape from Lowe's, but it looked fine. Robin was in Texas because his play, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, was on hiatus for 8 weeks. His lines were memorized. He could rehearse by Zoom with Edward, the other actor. He'd flown from New York City to relax and expand. After Alice's tiny New York City apartment, his body felt like an accordion. He could exercise and shop. That was before the coronavirus. The day before Zen arrived, Robin had visited the Blanton Museum for 2 hours and then bought truckside tacos on the way home. He had a carton of La Croix and the fixings for a meatball bolognese in the fridge. Life was just about perfect. He loved the quiet, empty feel of the house and how he could crank the air conditioner down to 75. Alice wasn't there to scold him or school him. Sometimes the single life was the best. He could lie on the couch and read about 17th century England or listen to NWA uncensored. Nobody cared. Zen's Uber driver dropped him off at the house at 4 p.m. He had about 6 suitcases piled on the sidewalk next to him, which seemed like a lot for 4 days. Robin walked outside. He could feel his own eyes light up.
Hey, buddy!
They couldn't stop hugging each other.
What's all this shit you brought?
Zen smiled.
Oh, this? It's stuff for the body premiere. You know, t-shirts and posters.
Yeah, man, that sounds like a big deal. You hitting it now, baby?
Oh, yeah, I'm hitting it for sure. Speaking of which, have you got any weed?
You know I don't like that stuff.
Well, I was hoping you could get me some, you know, since Kiara won't let me smoke around the baby.
You know I don't do drugs. Marijuana makes me sick.
Okay, you know where I could get some?
The neighborhood kids?
Robin picked up a couple of the suitcases and they went inside. He showed Zen to the guest bedroom.
Wow, I love this house, Robbie. It's real, you know, it reminds me of home.
I love it too, man. Texas is awesome. They have some great regional theater, and the music is off the charts.
You mean country?
It's Texas swing. Excellent guitar.
Whatever turns you on, I guess. Let's get us some good Mexican food.
They ate dinner at Guero's, where Robin had made reservations. It was one of those nights where the place was as crowded as usual, except for excellent for people watching, but not enough to feel rushed or overwhelmed. There was a guitar band playing outside. The weather was hot, but not sweltering. It was a perfect evening. Nobody realized what was about to hit them. They spent the first part of the evening reminiscing about old comedy skits and sketching new ones on napkin notes.
We could have 2 black guys, recently married, and one of them wants to take a trip down the Amazon,
said Robin.
The cool blacker guy wants to hang out at a low-down comedy club,
said Zen.
But the other guy's wife won't let him.
Both of them are married to white women,
said Robin.
The cooler tall guy wants to take a trip to Nigeria.
Why Nigeria?
It's a rich country, but the other guy can't get a visa even though he's better known, a movie director.
Why not?
He smokes too much weed.
Oh, come on. I bet they have some awesome weed in Nigeria. And why does it have to be in Nigeria? I've always wanted to visit Brazil. Kiara has some family living there. Italian-Brazilians.
Robin sighed.
How are things in San Francisco? How is Kiara?
Oh, she's good. She's good. Her television show just ended. I can't invite you to her house, man. Kiara can't forget that you guys slept together.
Well, I can't forget it either. It was awesome.
Don't go there, man. It's not funny. She doesn't want to see you.
Well, isn't it your house, too?
Zen bit into his third taco and studied the guacamole.
Where's Alice these days?
Producing a play in London.
Oh, do you miss her?
Not at the moment.
What is it with you and marriage?
Zen's voice was sarcastic.
First a woman 15 years older you, which is beyond crazy. And then you jump into the pit again right away, smack, without even giving yourself a break.
My first marriage was because I missed Mom. Alice is perfect for me. She has a career and she doesn't want children.
Children are pretty good to have around.
Robin suppressed an impulse to groan. From the photos in People magazine, that kid looked nothing like Zen. Its face was a mirror of Kiara. They finished their tacos and went outside near the pavilion to order some brew. The guitar band, consisting of a deep-voiced male singer with a tall, skinny, tough woman on lead guitar, plus 2 other guitars, was picking up a storm. Zen and Robin ordered beers and sat under the trees. It was a hot evening, but the breeze was blowing just right. A woman sat by them, her dog on a leash. But Robin's body was too unkinked to care. A few couples were clicking their boots on the dance floor. The music was rocking a Texas two-step.
You want to dance?
Asked Robin, jumping up.
We'll get killed,
said Zen, glancing around.
Nah, this is Austin,
said Robin.
They're pretty cool.
He offered Zen his hand. They got on the edge of the dance platform and tried out the two-step.
You dance pretty well,
said Robin.
You dance like a high jumper,
said Zen.
That was my college sport.
Soon they moved to the middle of the platform. People were watching them and smiling. After the third song, they got some claps.
I'm done,
said Zen.
Let's get another beer.
They made their way back to the table. The woman with the dog pointed at Robin. I recognize you from that comedy show.
No, you don't.
Robbie and Ken?
That's us.
Robin and Zen. Oh my God, I love that show. That crazy massage parlor bit, football concussions.
Catch us on YouTube,
said Robin. Luckily, the woman's dog was pulling her away. Goodbye, famous comedians. She walked away smiling and waving.
Fuck,
said Zen.
I can't believe we still get recognized for that show. I'm a director now, for God's sakes.
Robin put down his beer.
That show, my friend, that show was the best thing we will ever do in our lives. We were comic geniuses.
Well, I'm a horror genius now. I make more money with my films.
Robin raised his eyebrows.
But the show was more fun. You have to admit, we had fun.
Zen closed his eyes and nodded.
It was fun. Making that show was hard work. And a shitload of fun.
Do you remember the time Tammy and Tina came running after us with the spray foam and you were wearing heels?
God, I don't know. I did so many skits in heels.
How about when we were all dressed up in dinosaur costumes and you needed to pee?
Oh, those hot, itchy wigs and the church lady dresses.
We must have put on 1,000 funny wigs.
They walked away from Guero's with Robin's arm slung over Zen's shoulder. Robin felt as if they were still floating on fumes from the television show, with all the laughs, but without the weary 12-hour workdays. The next morning, they visited the farm museum and came home to play poker and Monopoly before dinner. Robin cooked some cheeseburgers and they watched the news. All of a sudden, there was a shitstorm. South by Southwest Festival had been canceled. No flights were going in or out. The coronavirus had hit. Zen and Robin looked at each other.
I gotta call Kiara.
Zen hurried into the guest bedroom. Robin could hear a little pleading and some shouting. He sank down and laid his head back against the couch. This virus sounded bad, but at least he was holed up with Zen in Texas and not in New York City. He had enough money to last for a long time, even with the alimony. But he would call his first wife and make some excuses, get the alimony cut in half. A vacation was in order, 2 weeks off at home. Zen wandered out of the bedroom, scratching his head.
Aw, Kiara's all home with the baby alone, and she's upset. I need to try and get a plane home.
Robin shrugged.
You better try right now. This thing looks serious.
Well, have you called Alice?
No, it's too late. I'll call her tomorrow morning.
Why are you smiling?
I don't know. This lockdown comes at a nice time for me. I need a break.
Zen waved his arms around.
This is a horrible time. My second movie is coming out.
Robin couldn't help but thank the gods of fate for knocking Zen on the head and teaching him this lesson. Show business was a precarious world. Zen needed to learn that talent did not always equal success.
Why are you laughing?
Zen said, twisting his short braids.
I could lose millions of dollars.
I just remembered how young you are.
Zen retreated into his bedroom and spent the next 2 hours trying to book a flight home. Robin continued watching the news. People all over the country were scrambling around like squirrels. There was no plan, no leadership. Everything was closing down. At 11 p.m., Robin thought about his favorite Mexican bakery. They wouldn't be able to stay open. Plus, he needed groceries.
I'm going out,
he shouted. He drove slowly through his neighborhood, remembering that Hunko Foods closed at midnight. The parking lot was full and people were pouring inside. He thrust himself into the throng. There was one six-pack of toilet paper on the shelf and he grabbed it. The only milk left was whole milk in a big gallon jug. He grabbed that too, along with whatever fruits and vegetables looked edible. A couple boxes of Zen's favorite cereal, 4 cans of beans, a 6-pack of beer, 1 pound of ground beef, and he was out the door. He knew he had rice back at the house, and he was growing chili peppers on the patio, an extra carton of La Croix water, Advil liquid gels. Back in the car, he felt thrilled by a sense of adventure. He and Zen were stranded on Turtle Creek Boulevard. He loaded the groceries and turned around La Rosa Bakery. Louisa and Pedro were cleaning off the counters about to lock up. He saw some bags of pastries next to the cash register.
Can I buy one of these?
He pointed to a bag. Sure, take 2, said Louisa. Who knows when we open again? Robin hesitated and then bought 2 big bags because the second one had his favorite pig cookies. At the house, Zen's door was still closed. Robin unpacked the groceries and felt a sense of coziness. They could last a couple of weeks without starving. The electricity was still working. He took a shower and went to bed. Robin woke up the next morning wondering why he was so happy. Oh yeah, the coronavirus. Indefinite time off. He shaved his face and his head and dressed slowly and rehearsed how he would confront Zen. It was important to telephone Alice while Zen was within earshot. At concern, when Zen couldn't get a flight to San Francisco, his heart was bursting with joy. Out his bedroom window across the street, he could see the baggy-shorted son of Arturo Diaz working on his motorcycle. Next door to that, Crazy Walter was mounting his bicycle with a bunch of flowers in the basket. He was probably planning to trade them for drugs, or maybe he had drugs. Robin thought about how much Zen used to smoke every Friday night after filming and after they had gone out for beers. He needed the beers and the marijuana to relax. He walked out of the master bedroom. Zen was eating Captain Crunch at the dining room table.
I can't get any flight or transportation home,
sighed Zen. He was almost crying.
Kiara's upset.
You could always drive,
said Robin, pulling down the corners of his mouth.
Very funny. You know I never learned.
Damn New Yorkers,
said Robin.
Who doesn't learn how to drive?
Zen stood up and was about to punch him. Robin danced around.
Just a minute. I need to call Alice.
He walked back into his bedroom and sat on the yellow beanbag chair. He tried a couple of times but got only a busy signal. Then he left a loud voice message.
I love you. Talk to you soon.
His voice sounded saccharine in his own ears, like a soap opera. He walked back into the living room and shrugged.
I can't get through. Her line's busy.
Zen glared at him.
We're stuck here.
Robin felt his neck grow hot.
Well, this is my house, and I kind of like it. The weather is great. We've got plenty of food. I went shopping last night. There are books to read, games to play. The television still works. Here, have a pastry.
He showed Zen the plastic bag of Mexican pastries.
These pigs are delicious. Try not to eat too many.
Zen stared at Robert's face, ignoring the pastries.
You're a crazy motherfucker, you know that? You enjoy all of this.
Then his face split up into a grin. He chose 2 pig cookies and continued to call Kiara and the airlines for the next hour. Around noon, Zen found out that Kiara's sister had moved into their Frank Lloyd Wright-style mansion and was helping with the baby. Zen stopped pacing around and sat down to play a video game. Robin went out into the patio to set up the gas barbecue.
We can barbecue tonight after dark, he said. I'll make rice and beans for lunch.
He picked 3 chili peppers.
Whatever,
said Zen, but he exited Mario Brothers and came into the kitchen to observe.
How long do you think this is going to last?
2 weeks,
said Robin. He chopped up the chili peppers and threw them into the pan with some black beans.
I forgot. Do you like cilantro?
Pile it on,
said Zen.
You don't seem upset at all. How's your money situation?
I can last for a year without touching my retirement savings, but don't tell Mona that.
You still paying her alimony?
A shitload. Haven't you read the tabloids?
I don't read magazines and I don't do reviews. What do you say we write up a new skit after lunch? Keep, you know, the old brain juices flowing.
The skit they came up with was about two comedians cooped up together during a pandemic. They situated it inside a tiny New York City apartment with a balcony and a pair of powerful binoculars. After 3 days, the comedians began fighting about a woman across the alley who was undressing with the curtains open. What pickup lines would they use? Who would be more successful? 3 weeks later, they were fighting over her husband and her cat.
This is brilliant,
said Robin, dancing around the living room.
People get delirious after 24 hours together.
It's a good thing you have 3 bedrooms and a backyard,
said Zen.
Tell me about your neighbors.
Robin explained that half of his neighbors were Spanish-speaking, and there was a weird guy who rode around on his bicycle all day.
He's not one of the spandex butt riders,
he said.
He has a cheap bicycle with a basket in front. His hair is pretty shaggy. I think his wife takes care of him. Crazy Walter.
Well, let me see him,
said Zen. They crowded into the laundry room and twisted the Venetian blinds. Crazy Walter was digging dirt in his bed of brown-eyed Susans.
Crazy has a pretty extensive garden. He doesn't have any grass in his yard. It's all flowers and vegetables.
Phew,
said Zen.
That guy has weed.
How do you know?
He's a white guy with dreadlocks.
Before Robin could stop him, Zen put on his Nikes and went out the door.
You need to social distance,
Robin yelled after him. He watched from the laundry room as Zen sauntered over to Crazy Walter, his hands in his pockets. Get your hands out in the open, Robin wanted to shout at him. Crazy Walter might think you have a gun. After about 30 seconds of Zen talking and laughing, Walter went into his garden shed and brought out a plastic baggie. Zen counted out some money from his pocket. They stood far apart from each other until the exchange happened. Zen pocketed the plastic baggie and then sauntered away, smiling and waving. Robin stood at the front door.
Wash your hands,
he commanded as Zen entered and kicked off his shoes. Zen brushed past him.
I've got some rolling papers in my suitcase.
Robin could hear the water running, and then he heard Zen's suitcase rip open. Seconds later, Zen was sitting on the couch rolling a joint.
Do you mind doing that outside?
Said Robin. He remembered the weedy smell of Zen's old apartment. The carpet had been dusty with pot. Zen scraped a lawn chair into the shade. The hell with that, Robin decided. He poured himself a cold beer into a tall glass and loaded a plate with Mexican pastries. Outside, Zen was blowing a huge cloud of smoke. Robin set down his glass on the picnic table.
You see the beauty of this situation?
I do now.
They talked for 2 hours about nothing. The poor state of the government. The craziness of women when it came to love. The latest great music and how musicians always wanted to destroy themselves. Zen's movie.
Oh, I love my film,
said Zen, exhaling.
It's the film I've always wanted to make. A black family existing on the edge of despair, their souls sucked out by Western values.
You love Western values,
said Robin.
I do,
said Zen slowly.
I love the literature and the science, but the people have treated us very badly.
Sometimes I walk down South Congress,
said Robin,
and people who don't recognize me think I'm white.
Everybody thinks you're white,
said Zen.
And nobody knows my mother is white.
My father is black,
said Robin,
and I'm living a lie.
We're the truth,
said Zen.
We both are, and you're the very truest one.
Robin stood up, feeling his heart rise into his throat. Zen stood up and hugged him. It was the warmest feeling in the world. Zen's arms around him like he was enveloped by a pillow of comfort and hope and safety. Zen understood him more than anybody in the world. They went into Zen's bedroom, hopping over the mess on the floor, breaking a couple of crayons with their feet. Somehow, that bed felt safer than the master bedroom where Alice sometimes slept. Robin grabbed towels and Alice's Vaseline from the guest bedroom. They could fuck each other on top of the bedspread with a towel underneath, and it was a secret between them, almost afterwards like nothing had happened. First Robin pitched, then Zen. They cranked the air conditioning down. Zen's hair smelled like weed, and Robin noticed his friend had lost a few pounds. It was like old times.
Man, that's the first time I've fucked anybody in a month.
Sighed Zen, lying flat on his back on top of the pillows.
Since Kara was born, it's been nothing but penthouse videos for me. Kara only thinks of the baby.
Why do you name Carol?
Robin laughed.
Sounds like a syrup or some kind of seed.
Hell if I know,
said Zen.
Kiara picked the name.
The kid is entirely white,
said Robin.
You ought to know.
Robin leaned over and punched Zen in the shoulder.
Just because you're the darker one, you forget I'm the handsomer one.
They said nothing much that evening, grilling hot dogs and zucchini, watching movies on television. The air was clear on the patio with a light wind blowing. Robin thought his marriage should have been like that, silently grilling after fucking each other. No work to worry about, sitting next to the person he loved the most. He put his arm lightly around Zen's shoulder as they watched the news. They slept early that night in separate beds. In the morning, Zen was shoving Captain Crunch cereal into his mouth.
We gotta get out of here. I need to arrange distribution of body double.
What's the matter? Does your head hurt?
Yeah, my head hurts, and I'm losing millions of dollars.
Come on, it can't be that much.
Robin thought of his own $7 million of retirement money, what was left over after the divorce.
It's millions, you fool. I made $25 million on zero gratitude.
That much? Wow.
You know, and I know, the world needs high-quality black cinnamon.
And that's what you're making?
Zen sneered.
Well, I'm not slouching around doing British stage work.
He struggled to open a bottle of Advil liquid gels. Robin reached over and opened it for him. Was this what happened in every romance? A perfect situation turned sour once the truth came out. Robin remembered the first time he met Sal Alice. She was auditioning actors for the first comedy feature, Clowns on Ice. She looked so focused and beautiful with her red hair curling around her face. She had the perfect sense of humor in the moment. That guy couldn't act his way out of a Volkswagen. And she needs to shave her beard before she joins the circus. So corny and such delicious lips. Zen struck him harder. The first time they had met, Zen had been playing hacky sack in Central Park with a bunch of white guys from his college improv group, laughing about himself. Later that day, back in Texas, Zen's mood softened. Even though Robin had made rice and bean tacos for every lunch for the past week, they were different each time and delicious. Crazy Walter had contributed zucchini flowers and tiny zucchini. Maybe the guy wasn't so crazy. Robin's cherry tomatoes added color. Now they were completely out of cheese.
I need to go to Hong Kong,
said Robin.
Give me some co-wash for my hair and some Cheez-Its.
And said Zen.
Oh, and stock up on the beer.
Maybe I will if they have it. The shelves are pretty bare.
Zen rolled his eyes.
You know, you could
contribute something for the groceries.
Oh, I forgot that you're poor.
I'm doing fine with money,
said Robin.
And my life situation makes me happy. You're the one who acts grumpy, even though you're so filthy rich.
Zen contemplated his taco for a moment. He grabbed an empty shell and crunched it down.
You know, I really should have offered you a pardon zero, but I thought we needed a break from each other. You know, things were getting too tight.
We worked pretty well together for 5 years.
You know, the show was perfect, but it was over when it was over.
I hear you,
said Robin. He put away the food and wiped down the counters and the table with Windex. The house was staying tidy with a lot of effort on Robin's part, but Zen's room and bathroom were grimy and cluttered. The bedroom floor was so filled with clothes and shoes and posters and spreadsheets. He couldn't see the monkeys on the rug. Robin stuck his head in every morning and felt sick to his stomach. Zen plopped down on the love seat and put his bare feet on the coffee table.
We'll definitely be casting for Donkey Blinders as soon as this COVID craziness is over. You'd be perfect as Ralph.
The script had popped up in Robin's email without his asking for it. He had read it a couple of times and laughed out loud. At last, here was a comedy about something really funny. City boys on a farm, without too much mention of black skin. All of the actors cast so far were African American, which made it easier for Zen to stay loose and away from politics. It felt like Detroit, even though it was set in Wyoming.
I love that script,
said Robin.
It's funny as hell.
Robin grabbed his keys, a mask, and some hand sanitizer and headed off to the grocery store. Entering the store felt scary, like walking into a minefield. When he rounded a counter, he had to check down the aisle to see if anyone was blocking his way or lingering over the beverages. He picked up beer and a bottle of wine, more La Croix water. The Cheez-Its were there and oranges, apples, and snow peas, but he couldn't find toilet paper or paper towels. He grabbed a large stack of napkins and a girly scented bottle of hand soap. There was no ground beef, but there was firm tofu. Suddenly he wished for Alice, who would be able to concoct a casserole out of nothing and could make some mean Chinese food with tofu. She was staying in London with her friend Rebecca. When he got back to the house, Zen was working on his computer. Robin put away the groceries and then brought his own laptop to the living room. He saw a notice for a Zoom meeting with Edward Barilla, his co-star in Rosencrantz, and replied,
"Yes."
The guy was laid back and funny in a city bum t-shirt kind of way, completely without ambition. He enjoyed rehearsing with Edward and drinking a beer together afterwards. Once they had walked through Central Park, discussing how they would interpret the play. "There's no interpretation needed," Edward told him. "The lines just carry us away into funny land."
"Send me the slides for Ralph,"
Robin said, suddenly closing his laptop.
"I'd be honored to audition."
"You know you don't have to audition for me ever,"
said Zen.
"I'll just give you the part."
"Well, I have this play commitment. If we're done by the time you begin rehearsals, I'm in."
Zen looked at him.
"A film should always come before a play."
"This is Broadway,"
said Robin.
"See how the timing works out. You'd be crazy to turn down a film with me."
Robin shrugged.
"Man, you need to get over yourself."
They were silent for the rest of the day, except for talking about television shows and food. Luckily, on the weekend, Zen was able to get standby status on a flight to San Francisco. And this is what led to Robin waiting outside the airport while Zen checked in to see if he had tickets. Zen waved the tickets as he walked out the glass doors.
"I'm in."
Robin felt his shoulders relax, although he wondered how he would spend his time until the next Zoom rehearsal with Edward. With a wife who had her own important career and no thoughts of any children, it was clear that Robin's close company depended on friends.
"Send me those sighs for the Ralph role,"
he reminded Zen.
"The play could flop at any time. Or maybe COVID will shut down Broadway."
"I will,"
said Zen. They hugged until Robin lost his breath. Then he turned to walk away, and the precipice opened up. The end.